Our first reading came from the New Revised Standard Version, our second reading from the Message Bible. Genesis 50, the verses 14 through 21. After burying his father, Joseph went back to Egypt. All his brothers who had come with him to bury his father returned with him. And after the funeral, Joseph's brothers talked among themselves. What if Joseph is carrying a grudge and decides to pay us back for all the wrong we did to him? So they sent Joseph a message. Before his death, your father gave this command. Tell Joseph, forgive your brother's sin, all that wrongdoing. They did treat you very badly. Will you do it? Will you forgive the sins of the servants of your father's God? And when Joseph received their message, he wept. And then the brothers went in person to him, threw themselves on the ground before him and said, "We'll be your slaves." Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see you planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good, as you see all around you right now. Life for many people. Easy now. You have nothing to fear. I'll take care of you and your children." He reassured them, speaking with them, heart to heart. And here ends our scripture reading. May we sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this morning. Brother, sister in Christ, have you noticed how quick people are to assign blame when tragedy strikes? A few years ago, shortly after the initial shocks of Hurricane Katrina, we could hardly believe our ears hearing a so-called spiritual leader say that this hurricane was God's punishment for the gambling in Biloxi, and for all the sin and fornication that was going on in New Orleans. And from different quarters, we also heard the arrogant declaration that God has now joined their jihad, the so-called holy war against America. Parties from opposite sides were quick to force their particular misconceptions about God down the throats of all who would listen. We often see the evil that people can do. However, simultaneously, we also see a spirit of sacrifice and service in heroic men and women. Amongst them are ordinary citizens, firefighters, police officers, young and old, rushing into danger or joining rescuing parties and sacrificing themselves to help others. It happens here and everywhere across the globe whenever tragedy strikes. So you and I have heard people ask, now where was God when all that happened? Where is God? Where is God in all this? And some here present may sometimes wonder about the role and the place of God in these awful events. Well, the Bible does give us some guidance, some insight into this matter. May I refer you to the story of Joseph, the favorite son of Jacob. Joseph's own personal tragedy occurs when his brothers become overwhelmed with jealousy and conspire to kill him. "Come now," they say, "let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him." Joseph, after all, was the brother who seemed to have everything and always got his way. Much more than they ever did. So clearly, whatever the brothers would conspire to do against Joseph, well, he had it coming. Or at least, so they thought. And then the biblical story takes some twists and turns. And at the end of the book Genesis, there came famine in the land of Joseph's birth, while Joseph rose to power in Egypt and became the governor of the land. And not realizing that it was the brother they tried to kill, his brothers appeared to plead for food to take back to their homes. And finally, Joseph reveals his identity to his brothers. What a moment. And they then fall down before him and say, Oh, we are here, but we are willing to be your slaves. Scared, stiff. Why? Well, they certainly did the crime, so they expected to do the time. After all, it only seems fair. But then, nevertheless, the Bible says that Joseph had a totally different point of view. "Do not be afraid," he said to them. "Do I act for God? Do I act for God, even though you intended to destroy me? I am not in the place of God and will not judge you. Have no fear, my brothers. I will provide for you and your families." What's happening here that we can understand in modern times? Joseph focused in on reconciliation, not on revenge. So the answer to the question, "Now where is God in all this?" becomes crystal clear. Where is God? God is in God's people. God is present, manifold, in our midst this morning. When we discover this truth, we understand that we are God's ambassadors in an often wicked and terrible world, and from that we learn a powerful lesson. I leave the judgment to God, but I am an ambassador to proclaim the mighty works of God and tell the story of the love that will never, never let us go. And that's exactly how Joseph began his statement to his brothers. "Do I act for God? Am I in the place of God?" And then the answer becomes clear. Of course not. We are not in the place of God. But beware, sadly, we often do put ourselves in the place of God rather than letting God put us in our place. Brother, sister, have we been playing God or letting God play us? Heated debates and questions are still raising across America. It seems once again as if we are even more confused than ever before. And that brings a bunch of other questions. In my mind, I'm surely also in yours. Tell me, are researchers playing God when they create clones in the laboratory? Are judges and juries playing God when they condemn criminals to death? Are politicians playing God when they use military might to remove a dictator, end a civil war, or eliminate weapons of mass destruction? Well, the truth behind all this, and the reason why we should ask the question is, we are indeed, and wrongly, and often, playing God. We do so when we judge, when we condemn others, for whatever reason. We are not in the place of God. However, we are God's people as servants, as ambassadors, as witnesses, as we extend a helping hand, bringing forgiveness and reconciliation into this dark and difficult world of ours. We seek peace. We teach forgiveness. And we pray for reconciliation. That the animosity in the world will die down. That nation here and nation there will learn to live in peace with one another. That's the answer. Where is God when it hurts? Well, some of us are hurting this morning. Maybe not all. But many of us do. And I think the only answer that I could think up was, the answer to the question is, where is the church when tragedy strikes? Where are you and I when tragedy strikes? If we are truly God's people, we are busy now, this morning, this very minute, we are busy binding wounds, comforting the grieving, and offering food to the hungry. People will no longer ask, but they will see, they will understand, and they will know that God is in the presence of God's people on earth. Whenever tragedy strikes, you will recognize God's people. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making His appeal through us. Even in the midst of the most horrifying human events, God is still with us, inviting, urging, and then sending us back into the world. Not only in the midst of crisis, but He sends us always. We are on a permanent mission until the day we die. Every day of our lives. So let us then also reach out to one another as we follow Christ, our Savior, and our example. I will hold the Christ light for you in the shadow of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I will laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow until we have seen this journey through. Won't you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you, and pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Amen.